You see what God does? He grabs your hand, and here's a valley. I would love for God to fling me over the valley like this, but He doesn't. You know what He does? He drags me through it. But here's the cool thing. He never let go of my hands. And you come through battered a little bit, but you know what? When you heal up, you understand how others feel when they go through that. He will never let go of your hand. And when you come through, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message on the parable of the farmer planting seeds, and we learned how some fell by the wayside or on hard, rocky soil and became bird food. Well, today we're going to look at the seeds that were choked out by thistles and thorns, but we'll also learn about the seed that fell on good, fertile soil and brought a great harvest. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, the parable of the plow.
The disciples said, "Teach us more." So he continues. And he goes into the third and he says this. Let's read it. Go. "Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out." The disciples came back and said, "What does that mean?" And he explains it. Read it. Go. "The one whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Now watch this. If you had a rectangular piece of ground and you had oxen that's pulling your plow, are you going to plow? Do you plow that way? No. In the old days, because they had oxen plowing, how would you plow? At 90 degree turns? No, you would plow how? In oblong circles is how you do it. And then they would go inside a little bit more, and a little bit more, a little bit more. That's how they would plow. Because you can't get the oxen into the corner and then have them turn and your plow goes in there and turns. It's in an oblong, circular fashion. That's how they plowed their portion of the land. Now, if you're going to plow in an oblong, circular fashion, which areas of your field would never get the plow? The corners. In fact, if you go to the mainland, you'll notice in agricultural fields, the corners all have weeds in them, because even when you're haying, because I hay in the summertime up there, my baler doesn't get the corners. You know what I actually do? I do Roundup in the corners, because I never get to them. I can't with my machinery. And so the same thing is true with the plowmen of the Old and New Testament. They would do it in circular fashion, which would leave choke weeds in the corners. So much so that those weeds have taken up the nutrients of that soil, and even though the farmer is sowing seed, it's going to fall on the weeds, but it's going to choke it out because it's got this web of texture. It's a fabric of weeds, and the seed would fall, but the weeds will choke it out. Corners. Got any corners in your life? Give me corners. Corners. That's like, "God, you can have all of this, but there's a corner of my life that I'm keeping to myself. I'm separating this from your involvement." You can have all of that. Well, he said, "What do you mean corners?" Like, just areas that I've separated from the involvement of God. It's mine. Maybe it could be a rendezvous with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or internet porn or just doing something that on the side that, like, I'm not hurting anybody. It's just mine. And God, you can do all of this other stuff, but this is my corner, so leave me alone here. And when that happens, you think it's okay, but let me tell you what happens. Although the plow hits the rest of it, except in the corners, now watch carefully, all right? Seeds thrown, it doesn't germinate, but what grows? Weeds. Now, even though we say that's a corner, it could be an addiction to something, whatever it might be, or even television, when the Lord speaks to it, we say, "Hey, this is my relaxed time. I'm just going to sit here. Leave me alone." Is any area of my life where I refuse God's involvement? Doesn't have to be sin, just could be, don't get involved. This is mine. And it's a corner. I got a corner on this. Now watch what happens. The weeds grow up. Along with the harvest, the weeds grow up. Now you harvest the wheat, but you know what's still growing here? Are the weeds, because you can't get to them. Now watch this. If you let weeds go to seed, the wind blows, and guess where the seed goes? In your fertile ground. Now, there'll be a few weeds that the farmer will pick up, but if you have clumps of weeds on the side and they're going to seed all the time, you're going to get all of that pollen blown into your field, and you're going to be dealing with stuff because of that corner that you separated. You thought it ain't hurting anything. It has seeds everywhere. That's what pollutes fields. That's why I actually round up the corners. Because, not because it'll have weeds, but the weeds will go to seed and it will destroy the rest of the crop. And sometimes we think, well, the corner's not going to hurt anybody. This is just my own thing. God, you can have all of this. A lot. You got plenty. Do this. Let me have this. And the Lord says, if there's any part of your life, Wayne, where you're afraid of my involvement, something's funny. Get it right. Yeah, but God, I'm embarrassed for you to be a part of this. You know what the best thing is? I know what's going on there, the Lord says. Let me in and I'll help you rectify it. I'll help you clean it up. I'll help you work through it. I'm not there to condemn you. I'm here to make you whole. Invite me in. And when you find that there's an area of your life that you've separated from the involvement of God, here's the prayer. Would you write it in? Holy Spirit, would you drive your plow right through the areas that I have separated from your involvement. Drive your plow right through the areas separated from your involvement. Lord, come. Because God wants us to be fruitful in every way, and He doesn't want the seeds of the weeds to be blowing in the wind over all the good things that are happening in your life, so that you're constantly being bitten on the heels by stuff that you didn't want to have to deal with. It will pollute your field. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and say, no one knows about this. The seeds of it will transfer over. And then the disciple said, wow, tell us more. Well, he gives him the final one. And then let's read the last. Go. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him. And the disciples said, explain it to us. And he continues, go. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some. When the seed of the gospel finds a lodging place in a heart that has been plowed by the Holy Spirit and tilled by His hand, that seed will germinate and leave that heart forever changed, producing a harvest of fruit. And this is what the Lord wants for your heart and for mine. And that's why it's so important, and I'm going to drum this again and again, to take the time each day to do devotions. Because in the morning, this morning, I was reading about Joseph and looking for the connections. When I go to the Bible in my daily devotions, it's not to study the Bible. It's to let the Bible study me. Because as I read it, I think, oh, Lord, I'm shallow in this area, aren't I? Lord, I've taken this for granted. Lord, I've got a corner right here. And then I pause. Holy Spirit, would you drive the plow right through here? Right through me, oh God. But you see, let me tell you, the greatest enemy of those times of plowing by the Holy Spirit, the greatest enemy, it's not the devil. The greatest enemy is a hurried pace. in your everyday life. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. So I rush out of the house. And what God wanted to sow in your marriage, never even got a chance to sow. The seed He wanted to throw in an area of your life to give you fruitfulness for tomorrow and next week, He didn't even get a chance to throw seed because I'm too busy. And then I start shallowing out in my devotions. And when that happens, would you pray this prayer? And the last one, would you write it there? Say, Holy Spirit, would you drive the plow of your spirit right through the hurried pace of my everyday life, where my devotions aren't shallowed out. You see, you can do devotions, but when it becomes common ground or commonplace, seed is impenetrable. He's throwing up seed, but you don't get it because it's becoming common. Happened to me. I was doing my devotions when the Lord said, you know, I don't want you just to restore devotions. I want you to restore the depth of your devotions that you once had. I'm doing devotions, but the depth kept shallowing out. Why? Because it was starting to become common ground. Can I encourage you to allow God to run the plow through the hurried pace of your life? Listen, folks, if God wants to slow you down, either you're going to slow down, because you heard Him say it, or He's going to have to slow you down. I don't know if you've had Him slow you down, but it ain't no fun. You're on your back on a gurney going in for an operation. The Lord said, I told you to slow down. You didn't. The other day I was walking home, and my wife was in front of me with a bag of groceries. I had a bag of groceries. And I turned and I turned back, and she's throwing her groceries on the ground. Her purse is everywhere. What happened was she wasn't looking where she was going, and she stepped off of the cement curb, twisted her ankle, and instead of falling headlong, she just threw everything, and one shoe went one way, and I turned around, and she had her other shoe, and she was just mad. She was kicking her other shoe off, and whoo, it came off, and it came right at me. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, that stupid cement walk. I said, hon, you can't take anything for granted when you're our age. You got to watch every step. You got to be careful. You know, there's times that if we aren't careful, we sprain an ankle and the Lord slows us down. Let me tell you what happened. After I was tired here 2.5 years ago, so we actually built a little house. And we have a family farm in Oregon because Anna's from there. So it was a place for me to get away and rest and write. But when the college came up and said, help, we're going down for the count, I jumped into that, and it was a 24/7 thing. I mean, I had to let go 75% of faculty and staff, bring new ones on, interview them, and then regurgitate even some of them, and then change the curriculum, rewrap the whole campus. And I was so spent. And so when I came back in September, starting to get ready to ratchet back here, I should have taken a sabbatical and then got back into it. But it was at that time Ellen was so excited about starting a church and being a New Hope church out there on his own. So I said, okay, great, you go for it. We bless you and we love you dearly. So we're excited about him. But it left me in quite a place because I had to hit the ground running. Because we had Thanksgiving, and then we had Christmas service. It was the busiest time. So I'm running completely on adrenaline because I'm spent already. It was two nights before the Christmas service. It was right here, Christmas Eve, Eve, where I just hit a brick wall. My knees buckled. I started going dizzy. I couldn't see right. My whole system started to shut down. Well, it just was the grace of God that I made it through the Christmas service. And then I got on a plane to go back to have Christmas with our daughters in Eugene when I just went sick. For 2 weeks I was on my back. It was like God said, I told you to slow down. I'm going to make you slow down. But here's the thing. I went in such a dark night of my soul. I was so spent and depleted. And you know what? When you're at your weakest point is when the devil comes into attack. And I mean, it was like Satan showed up in my bedroom one night when I was just ready to just call it quits. And then this deep depression would come over me. I understand why people want to just shoot themselves in the brain. You know, after a while, you're just like, I am so spent that it's like I'd rather take a dirt nap and I'd be better dead because it'd be a release. And you can sense, now wait a minute, the enemy is in this room. He waits for you to get really weak and then he attacks. It's just how he is. You see what God does? He grabs your hand and here's a valley. I would love for God to fling me over the valley like this, but he doesn't. You know what he does? He drags me through it. He does. But here's the cool thing. He never let go of my hands. He never let go. And you come through battered a little bit, but you know what? When you heal up, you understand how others feel when they go through that. I mean, it changes your heart forever. You have a compassion, you have an understanding that you've never had before. But here's the thing, he doesn't fling you over the valleys, he drags you through, but he will never let go of your hand. Would you always remember that? He will never let go of your hand. And when you come through, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. Do you remember what Jesus said in Luke to Simon? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. He didn't say, I prayed for you that the devil would leave you alone. No, prayed for you that your faith not fail. And then he said this, and when you have turned, strengthen your brethren. God didn't let go of my hand. And so I'm glad to be back on the heel again, and I'm excited for our future and what God has in store. But I tell you, there's going to be times where God's going to run the plow so deep you didn't think you'd survive. But when he's done, it'll be the most fruitful season you're about to experience. And he'll never let go of your hand. That's the kind of God we have. And so ask him to run the plow through your heart. So let's be honest with ourselves for the next couple minutes and ask these questions. Here it is, the first question. Are there areas in your life that you've taken for granted that used to be such a gift, but now it's just common ground? Ask God to run the plow of his Spirit through there. Are there areas in your life that have shallowed out? Ask God to run it through there. Could be a stubbornness. Maybe right under the surface, there's a protection. Maybe something you've not let go of. Let him run his plow through there. Any corners in your life? Invite God's plow to be involved. Because when the seed of the Word of God finds a heart that's been plowed and tilled by his hand, that seed will find a lodging place and it will germinate. And it will change your heart forever. It's people whose hearts are yielded to the plow, not that are talented or sharp. It's those that are yielded to the plow that'll be the most fruitful of all. And that's the kind of people we want to be. Can you say amen to that? Amen and amen. We're going to pray. And then we're going to take an offering. So would you prepare to give an offering to the Bible College and to our future of our church? And but we're going to pray, ask God to bless the offering, but also ask him to help us to be a people of the plow of the Holy Spirit. Everything that you give here, if you write a check, just write it to New Hope, because everything that's in this offering will be given exclusively to the Bible College. And it's all tax deductible, so just write it to the college or just to New Hope. We'll take care of the rest. And know that it'll be an investment in our future. So we're going to ask God to bless that as well. Ushers will be preparing to come, and we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful church called New Hope. Oh, we're not there. We're far from it. But we're on the way. We're on the heel. were being restored, being made whole, not perfect, but being perfected. We have chosen to enter into the process of being perfected. Thank you for that. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, our hearts, our hearts. Lord, would you bless this offering? Would you multiply it 30, 60, and 100-fold so that one day we will see great young leaders because we invested in them years ago. Thank you for investing in us. We want to do the same with others. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
My way.
I will worship you.
Still I will worship.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Parable of the Plow by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.